Welcome to the Kerwin Baptist Church broadcast today. Our desire is for the Word of God to be spread throughout the world so that all may know Christ. Join us now for a portion of one of our services here at Kerwin Baptist Church, located in Kernersville, North Carolina.
Exodus chapter 3. And as we continue in our series, what you need to know when God tells you to go. What you need to know. You're like, preacher, are you ever going to tell us what we need to know? Whether you know it or not, the things we've shared so far are things that you need to know. A lot of times you and I aren't going to really fully understand the promises of God if we don't understand God. A promise is only as good as the person that makes it. And if we don't understand who God is, then how are we ever going to, trust our entire lives to the promises of His Word? And so as we have gone through this experience and we have taken it step by step, today I'd like to concentrate. I felt last week if I would have finished the message that I wouldn't be able to really share some things that I needed to. And so I know I kind of stopped it in the middle last week, but I would like to deal specifically with this phrase. Look at verse 14. Obviously, we know that Moses, at 80 years of age, was shepherding his father-in-law's flock, comes by and sees what we call the burning bush, this bush that was on fire but was not consumed. And as it got Moses' attention, we went through all that for a couple of weeks. And as Moses grows closer, God himself calls out, "Moses, Moses." And as Moses listens to what he has to say, look at verse 14. "And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." Notice, if you would, in verse 13, this is what happened. God said, I'm going to send you. I'm going to use you, work through you to go back to Egypt. Remember where Moses had murdered and Moses hadn't been for a long time, and the last place in the world Moses would want to go to. And God said, I'm going to send you. And Moses says, well, wait a minute, Lord. If I go and these people ask me, why are you here? Who has sent you? Why should we listen to you? Moses says, who am I supposed to say has sent me? God gives this response. He says, let me tell you who I am first. I am that I am. And then let me tell you how you answer who sent you. I am has sent you. So what does that all mean? I know we just started on it last week. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. And before we really give the promises you've made, whenever you ask us to go and tell us to go, there's some things that you have told us to hang on to. But before we can even get there, Lord, we have to understand you, and we have to understand the nature of the one who's made these promises. So, Lord, as you have exclaimed to Moses who you are, Lord, may we not miss something in this. And Lord, I pray that you would help me to rightfully divide your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me just briefly respond to you, as I did last week, that this was the name Yahweh. This is a name that literally the children of Israel wouldn't even speak. In fact, they were so afraid that if they didn't say it quite right, that they would basically be taking the name of God in vain. So they would literally refer to Adonai whenever this word would come up, Yahweh. So it was very, very precious. And Yahweh means literally, I am. And this is the definition. Now, I have this up on the screen. I wanted you to be able to see this today, the definition of Yahweh. And this is how Yahweh is spelled in the Hebrew. Obviously, we pronounce it as if it was spelled differently, but this Hebrew doesn't have vowels. And I know that many of you understand that. So Yahweh, this is the definition of the name Yahweh that is given here. And by the way, this is not a name that anybody else can claim or has ever been called. God, when saying who he was to Moses, this is what he said. It means to exist, to be or become, to come to pass, self-existent. So what was God telling Moses here? He was giving Moses his personal name. And you say, well, what all does this mean? Remember, before you can do what God says to do, you have to know who God is. So what was God saying when he answered Moses, this is my name, I am that I am. Now, that doesn't sound like a name to us, but that's his name. I am that I am. He is the I am. What does that mean? Number one, it means this. It means that God exists. It means he's alive and that he exists. Now listen to me. By identifying himself as I am, God is declaring. Now get ready. I know your mind. God is declaring that he always exists in the immediate now. He didn't say I was. He didn't say I will be. Now he has a name, Jehovah, that means that. I was, I am, and I always will be. But Yahweh, when he looked at Moses and said, well, let me tell you who I am, he said, I am. That means he exists now. He is always in the present tense. I know you don't understand it all, and I don't even understand it all, and we're going to get to that in a minute. It means this, that God's existence is not dependent on anyone else. It means that he did not come from anyone else. Right. He just is. Right. Yeah. I am. Right. Amen. He's the only being that could have this name. Amen. Why do you say that, preacher? Because he is the only being that is self-existent. Yeah. Anybody else has been created by someone else. But God not only does the creating, no one created him. So the only way he could describe it is, I am. It means that God is not bound by time like you and I are. There was never a time when God wasn't. Now I know we can't fathom that. Whatever we know or see, we always feel somewhere it had to have a beginning. This building was not always here. We could trace it back to when this building was built. I mean, anybody you meet, there was a time when they weren't. But there was never a time in history, ever, in our realm of time, there was never a time where God began. He just always has been. I know you know this, and even when we describe it, it's kind of, it boggles our mind that he never began. There was never a time all the way back in history where we say, well, this is where God started. He never started. He just always has been. Are you confused enough? God has no fixed point where he was born or brought into being. He's just always been here. Revelation 22:13 says it this way, that he is the Alpha and the Omega. Yeah. He is literally the beginning and the end. That means God never had a beginning and he will never have an end.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. The only way God could explain this to Moses was, I am.
Yeah.
So number one, it means that God exists. Secondly, when he told Moses, he said, I am, it means that God does not change. If God ever changed, he would have to say, I was.
Right. Yeah.
If God was ever going to change, he would have to say, I'm going to be.
Right. Yeah.
But he says, I am, which means what I am right now is what I've always been, and it's what I'll always be. God does not change. Now listen to me. If God ever changed, he would not be God. You say, preacher, explain this. Well, if God ever changed, that means that either he would be better before he changed or he was better after he changed. Is this way too up here for you today? Do you understand what I'm saying? That if there was ever a time in history, present or future, that God ever changed, it means that either he was better before he changed or he changed into something better. So if there is ever a time in God's life where he was better at one point than he was at another point, then that means that God would not be perfect. Because if he ever got better at something, that means that there was a time when he wasn't perfect or he couldn't have gotten better. And if God's not perfect, he's not God. I mean, should I just stop now? So we can go home like this? Oh my God. What's going on? What's going on? Car pulls over at Olympic. You know, what in the world's going on? God does not change. God said, I am. And you need to understand this today, and I need to understand this, that despite the fact that everybody in our life changes, God does not. He is exactly the same this moment that he was when he was talking to Moses at this very time. How comforting to know that he does not change. You and I change, don't we? I had an appointment this week on Wednesday with an orthopedic surgeon, and he had to do some x-rays and all this stuff, you know, my hip issues that I've been having. Many of you saw that firsthand when I almost fell on the platform. Anyway, that was embarrassing. And so he goes through all these things, and you know what he said? Hey, you're getting older. Which I heard. You're getting fatter. That's what I heard. But nicely, he was like, you're getting older. You know, it's just part of life. We can pretend all we want to that we're just what we are. I mean, we're always going to be this strong. No, we're not. Hey, we're always going to be able to do this. No, we're not. Man, I used to play basketball. I could play basketball till all day long, get up the next morning, go play basketball all day long. And I've always been big, but always loved basketball and sports, any sport, love to play it and all that stuff. Let me tell you something. I think about basketball now. I'm sore tomorrow. Last night, we have a Nerf basketball hoop. It's not a Nerf. It's bigger than that. But I mounted it in our living room. We have a vaulted ceiling. My wife was gone one day, and I put up a glass backboard in our living room. You know, for young couples, I wouldn't recommend this. But, you know, I thought if she doesn't like it, well, then she can take it down. So we shoot basketball in our living room. We've broken lamps and all that stuff, you know. So last night, you know, it's a smaller ball, but it's an actual glass backboard, and it's got a little breakaway rim, although I've never tried it out. I just can't get up there to it. That's the problem. I can't. Ugh. Anyway, so I'm shooting little basketball last night with my boys, and my arm's sore this morning. You get old, you change. But you know what? God doesn't. Moses said, hey, if I show up and tell them that you, who is it that I'm supposed to tell them has sent me? I am. Why did God say it that way? And why? Because that's who God is. But why was this important? Because God needed to let Moses know to go tell the children of Israel that although you've been in bondage all these hundreds of years, you think I haven't heard, and you've heard all the wonderful stories about all your spiritual fathers, that all these miracles that God did. You've heard all of this, but all these years now, it seems that God's not listening, and you think God hadn't heard, and you haven't heard anything, and you've just been existing in this bondage. You need to make sure that you go back and tell them, when they ask who sent, I am sent. That means I'm the same God that did all those miracles all those hundreds of years ago. I'm the same God now, and I'm here to tell you, Kerwin, that same God then is still God in 2018. He not only exists, he doesn't change. You need to know this before you head out to do what God's called you to do. Because when you go out and you start doing what God's called you to do, things are going to go wrong, and you're going to have some tough times, and people are going to do you bad, and you're going to think, well, maybe, listen, if God called you then, he's called you now. He doesn't change. Number three, I'm getting hung up on these numbers. I better get through this. Number three, what did he mean when he said, I am that I am? It means, number three, that God is all powerful.
Amen.
Well, what could God do? I am. Well, but how do we define that? I am.
Right.
Well, but what does he mean? I am that I am.
Yeah.
For those hard of hearing, I am that I am. What does this mean? It means God is all powerful. Remember what the definition of Yahweh, it means to come to pass. Right. It means whatever needs done, God can do it.
Right. Yeah.
He's all powerful. Moses thought the hard part was to show up and tell them that God sent me to help deliver you out of this bondage. Moses thought that was going to be the hard part to show up back in Egypt. He had no idea the hard parts that were coming. He had no idea about all the plagues that it was going to go on with Pharaoh. He had no idea of fleeing out of Egypt and going through the Red Sea and all the years in the wilderness. He had no idea of what was coming. But God wanted him to know right from the start that I can do anything. Yeah. Maybe you're here this morning and you need to be reminded. Say, preacher, why are you hollering and screaming? Some people don't like it when a preacher raises his voice or whatever. Some people think that you hadn't even gone to church. The preacher doesn't scream so bad that his throat, that his vocal cords are hanging out his mouth or something like that. Listen, I just get passionate about it because sometimes I need to remind myself that God can still do what he said he can do. He's all powerful. You tell those people, God said, I am. I'm all powerful. Yeah. Notice this number four. What does it mean when he said, I am that I am? It means that we must conform to God. God does not conform to us. God did not look at Moses and say, you are. He did not look to Moses, and when Moses said, well, God, when I get there, who am I supposed to say? Send me. Just go there and say that I'm Moses and I'm here. God said, no, let me tell you, I am. I am hath sent you. You see, you and I, listen to me, God does not conform to what we want.
That's right.
We are not the I am.
Right.
We conform to what God wants. Let me put it this way. I am means you're not. I am means God was saying to Moses, you're not. You and I, we ever get to the point that we think we're something. And we think that anything depends on us. We are wrong. We're not. He is. I am. God does not conform to us. We conform to God. Number five. See, I got through number four pretty quick. Number five. I am that I am. Why did God answer that way? Because it means that God cannot be fully described or understood. Why did he say it that way? That seems like an odd answer to a question. Well, what's your name? I am. So what does that mean? It means I am. Well, when people, if I show up and they ask who sent me, what am I supposed to say? I am has sent you. Moses was running out of ways to ask the question. Why did God say it that way? Because there's no way that God could fully describe himself to Moses. Look, I mean, get this. God could have looked at Moses and said, well, let me tell you who sent them. The sovereign one sent them. Would he have been right about that? But if God said, you tell him I'm sovereign, would that have fully described God? I mean, what if Moses would have said, well, who am I supposed to tell him has sent me? God could have said, well, you just tell him the omnipotent one has sent you. Would that have been true? But omnipotent is just one little area of all that God is. Any name that God would have given would have never fully described God. So the closest thing he can come to is just to say, I am. Let me tell you how my redneck brain works. What I kind of think went on here. I am, you fill in the blank.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
What do I tell them when I show up? You tell them, I am. Whatever it is, I am. I'm all powerful. I'm sovereign. I'm omnipotent. I'm omnipresent. I'm everywhere at one time. I can do anything that I want to do. I can meet needs and I can heal and I can comfort and I can do all this. But how do you put all of that into one name? There's no one name that can fully describe God. So all he can say is, I am. By God saying this, it means there's no way you and I could ever fully describe, define, or understand God. All we have to do is just chalk it up to the fact he's just bigger than we are.
Yeah, that's right.
Number six, I am that I am. Why did he answer that way? What does it mean? Well, number six, he was telling Moses that God depends upon no one. God depends upon no one. You say, well, preacher, what do you mean? God wanted to assure Moses and Israel that God would be what they needed. Amen. And that God didn't depend on anybody or anything for that to happen. Now, you look up here at me. I want you to get this. When he said, I am, has sent you, he was saying this: I don't depend on anybody. I am. God did not need Pharaoh to cooperate for God to do what God wanted to do. God can do it with or without Pharaoh's cooperation. Look at me, dear friend. God doesn't need anybody's cooperation for him to be able to accomplish something. Is your mind grabbing it? Get this. God doesn't need Daniel Hawtrey to do what he wants to do at Kerwin Baptist Church. Now, Daniel Hawtrey's thrilled if I'm even part of the plan. But God doesn't need your cooperation, and he doesn't need our cooperation. Now, if you and I choose not to cooperate, we're going to miss out on the blessings, but God is not dependent on you or me to have his power. He is dependent upon no one. He is self-existent. Look at me. If God didn't need anybody to create him, why would he need anybody to do anything for him? If he is the only one that wasn't created, and he's the one that created everything else, he doesn't need anybody to do anything. It's not like God would say, well, you know what, I know that you're praying to me right now, and man, you have some bills that need paid, and I know right now you got some kids that might be going wayward, and right now you might be going through a difficulty in your marriage, but you know what, I really wish I could help you if only the boss at your work would cooperate with me. Are y'all getting this? It's not like God would say, man, I would love to meet your needs, and I could if only your boss would cooperate. I've tried, but he won't listen. And just hold on, as soon as he's willing to cooperate, I, God, can help you. Dear friend, God doesn't need your boss to cooperate. God doesn't need anybody in your life to cooperate for God to work miracles in your life. God let Moses know, I am. I don't need anybody. When I ask you to lead them out, Pharaoh and his army are going to fight. But you know what? I don't need their cooperation. And I don't need them to get a part of my plan. I can do it with or without them. And before you and I go, we need to know that God does not depend on you or anyone else. If it's God's plan and if it's God's will, God can do it. Whew. I don't know if our minds are really grabbing this. May I say this? Why is this so important? Because God was telling Moses that he wasn't depending on Moses' ability for this to happen. Moses is 80 years of age, a lot of bad history, and, you know, a lot of bad water running through that bridge and all these things. And now he looks at God and says, God, do you want me to go do this? And God said, I am that I am. You need to know that first. And you answer them, I am has sent me. Well, what in the world does that mean? It means that God was saying, Moses, I don't depend on Pharaoh, and I don't depend on anybody else. And even more importantly, Moses, I don't depend on your ability or talent to do this. I'm just calling you and asking you to obey. I don't need your talent. I don't need your ability. I don't need you to somehow miraculously come up with something. Just do what I tell you to do. I'm not dependent on them or you, Moses. I'm God. I'm self-existent. I'm the one that makes it come to pass. Now, I don't know if you remember, but as we cover this lastly, as I close this morning, the definition of Yahweh. And in that definition, it says, the one who becometh. Say, what do you mean, the one who becometh? Number seven, last this morning. What did God mean when he told Moses? What was he saying? I am that I am. Number 7, it means this: God can do or be whatever is needed. God can be or do whatever is needed. Look at me. God can become whatever he needs to become.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
To do his will. You say, preacher, I'm not really getting to this. Listen, you need to get a hold of this before you leave today and go to lunch. You need to get a hold of this. When God said, I am, there was no limit to that statement. If God would have said, I am sovereign, then it would appear that there are some things that God couldn't do. If God would have said, I'm omnipotent, or I'm omnipresent, or I'm omniscient, if God would have said any of those things, it would have put a limit or a fence around what God was or what God could do. But God said, I am Yahweh. It means this: whatever is needed and whatever I need to become, whatever I need to do, whatever need I need to meet, I can do it. Now listen to me. Yahweh is everything he needs to be, anything he wants to be, and all he should be. In every way, he is limitless and he is perfect. Look at me. God is not one thing. God is everything. It means this: he can be your helper. It means this: when you need it, he can be your strength. It means that when you're hurting, he can be your comfort. It means that when you have needs, he can be your provider. It means when there's things happening to you, he can be your protection. It means when you don't know what to do, he can be your guide. He can be all of the above. Whatever is needed in your life at the time, he's Yahweh. He is. I am whatever is needed. Listen to me. I can't be all these things for you. I can't even be all these things for my wife. You do not need other people to meet all your needs, folks. Are you getting this? Please get this today. You do not need other people to meet your needs. You do not need other people to fix your problems. You do not need other people, husband and wife included, to support your every emotional need that comes up. Whatever you need, God can be that for you. Stop being discouraged because everyone's letting you down and they're not being what you need them to be. God is the great I am. They're not. Somehow, can your hearts grab onto this morning? Somehow, do you understand what it means when he said, I am? It means that others aren't. And you and I have expectation that it's their fault. They didn't do this and they let me down. And I'm here to tell you, it's not their job and it's not their role and they don't have that ability. God's the one that is the I am. That's his position. That means this: when Elijah needed a fire, God was a fire. Anybody else know where I'm going with this? Can you figure it out? When David needed a shepherd, God was. When Moses needed manna from heaven, God brought it. Why am I the only one excited about this morning? When Joseph needed a dream interpreted, God knew it. When Joshua needed some walls to fall down, God made them fall down. When Zacchaeus needed somebody to see him, he saw him. When the blind man needed someone to see him and hear him, God heard him. When the man at the pool of Bethesda needed somebody to show up and help him, God did. When the man let down through that roof needed somebody to heal him off that bed, God did it.
Thank you for listening today. We hope you received a blessing from our broadcast. The Kerwin Baptist Church is located at 4520 Old Hollow Road in Kernersville, North Carolina. You may also contact us by phone at 336-993-5192 or via the web at kerwinbaptistchurch.com. Enjoy our services live and all our media on our website and church app. Thank you for listening to the Kerwin broadcast today. God bless you.